It's time to take you back to the VidPi seminar held at the National Convention of the American Council of the Blind in Louisville, Kentucky. VidPi is the Visually Impaired Data Processors International affiliate of ACB. They held a seminar at which vendors showcased their latest and greatest products.
Okay, HumanWare, are you here?
Yes.
Please come forward. Welcome the gentleman from HumanWare.
I am Jim Halliday, president of HumanWare, and I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for the invitation. I want to talk briefly about the Braille Note, which is a product that we just started shipping, actually, this past week. It's a portable note-taking device. It has built into it both speech and Braille. There are two models. There's an 18-cell display and a 32-cell display, both of which have touch cursor switches. The speech in it is Keynote Gold Multimedia. So it's a very high quality, very responsive speech as well. It has a suite of applications, including a word processor, a scientific calculator, a planner, which allows you to organize your day. You can set appointments, set alarms to wake you up in the morning or whatever. It also has a database, an address list, so you can store the names and addresses and numbers of a pretty good sized database. In fact, it's a relational database, so if you wanted to sort it by zip code or by last name or something like that, you could do that sort of sorting. It also has an email package that's built into it, so that you can, from anywhere you are, do your emails. And it's a standard POP3 type email, so it's it's basically the same as you would, sighted people would be using in their email packages. Let's see, what else has it got? It has standard ports on it. It has a standard serial port, standard parallel port. It has a built-in modem, and so it has the RJ11 jack on it. It has an infrared port as well. It also has a standard PCMCIA slot, so if you wanted to expand the memory in one way or another, you could go down to your local computer store and buy a standard PCMCIA card and plug it in. It also works with a super drive, so if you want to get a floppy disk drive with it, you can buy the super drive. And that super drive not only will use standard 1.44 meg disks, but it also uses disks that hold 120 megabytes on a single disk. So it's a pretty massive storage system as well. There are a number of special features because of the fact that it's running on a Windows CE platform. One of the things when we designed this, we wanted to make sure that we had a product that was not only intuitive and easy to use and powerful, but we also wanted a product that was based on an operating system that was mainstream. And what we can do, as an example, because we're running on a Windows CE platform, I can, if Debbie down here had a machine, I could send her an email. I could attach a Word file that I had produced in Microsoft Word. She could then receive my email. She could open the Word file in her word processor. She could edit it. She could then save it and send me an email back and reattach that same file, and I would never know that she had been working in Microsoft Word. And that kind of compatibility is really important. So philosophically, what we've been trying to do is create a front end on a product that is just as easily, just as intuitive, and just as friendly and fast for a blind person as Windows would be for a sighted person. And by having a back end in the system where the operating system is compatible with the mainstream system, we are able to have basic compatibility in terms of that file sharing. Another example might be using a Microsoft utility like active sync. If we plug the Braille note into a computer, the Braille note actually comes up on the computer as if it's an external drive. So I can go into Windows Explorer and actually move files around, move files from the Braille note into the computer or vice versa. So those kinds of standard utilities are really important in working with another computer that is using a standard Windows 2000 or 98 type environment. Doug Jeffrey mentioned that they had just finished a driver for the Braille note to work with Window Eyes. We also have the driver working with JAWS for Windows, and we are working with some of the other screen reading manufacturers as well, so that their products can drive it as well. But we're delighted that Doug has gone ahead and produced a driver for Window Eyes as well. Just with a single command, you could pop over and still have access to your daily planner or your files, your scheduling, your address list, those kinds of things. So you're pretty flexible that way. Battery's good for about 20 hours, and it recharges in about 2. So it's pretty useful in that respect as well. One more thing, because it's based on a Windows CE operating system, as Microsoft continues to develop their own products, we're riding on a platform that will just continue getting stronger, and we feel really excited about that opportunity, because as they strengthen their product, it has a direct effect on our product as well. And we're able then to continue adding utilities that they might produce, and it also gives us an opportunity to add a lot of other software down the road now that we have the basic platform together. So we're really excited about this, and we're in booth 13. We are doing some hands-on trainings this week, and if you come to our booth, you can sign up for one of the trainings. They probably will have like 3 or 4 or 5 people in each of the trainings, so you'll each have a unit in your hands, and you just need to schedule a time to sit down with them, and it'll give you an hour, hour and a half, where you can actually get into the detail of what I've just been telling you. Are there any questions? Yeah, Rich?
My question, you have an open architecture in the sense of the Windows CE. Is there any thought to having a facility where you can real-time load programs and execute them?
We haven't. I mean, it's certainly something we could choose to do down the road, but it isn't part of our initial philosophy. What we feel that if people want to use a screen reader of some sort, which you'd almost need if you're using a standard Windows CE application, then you're designing another screen reader, and we think there's screen readers that are out there pretty darn good already, and so we don't really want to create a screen reader for Windows CE, but what we wanted to do was have an environment or have a platform on which we could build a front end that was designed for blind people, so you wouldn't necessarily, if you didn't want to. Well, but it's actually all together. You're not reviewing the screen any differently than a sighted person might be reviewing the screen in some respects, because the cursor is always where the speech is. You may not be splitting those two off necessarily. It is a slight difference from that, and so the applications we've produced are specifically to be used with this. And so although we could do what you're saying, it's not our current plan to do so. If the market tells us that's what they ultimately want, then it would be a consideration. Yeah. Yes.
Are you close to adding the internet access?
Well, that's one of the things that people are asking for. And what we're trying to do now is to determine how much access we want. Anyone who's written browsers, they know how messy they can be as you're going into different versions of Windows and so on. But I think It's certainly on our list, and if we pursue that, which we may well do in the next few months, it may start as a text browser, like an FTP browser, and then it may go into something greater. From what I'm hearing from users, if you had the FTP browser, they'd be reasonably happy. So I mean, I need your feedback in order to know how to prioritize our continuing developments, because there are going to be a lot of developments continuing on this product. Yes.
Keyboard or a regular keyboard?
It's a Braille keyboard at this point. The product has a standard Braille keyboard. Well, it's very ergonomically designed, but it's standard configuration. And then there is a .7 and 8 key on there. And depending on how you want to use the device, it in its standard default form, .7 is actually the back key, and .8 is the enter key. If you're in menus and things like that. There are also thumb keys, by the way, forward and backward thumb keys on it, and up-down thumb keys.
1 minute.
Okay, I've got 1 minute left. Down at the back there.
With all the email viruses going on around, what type of protections does the Braille Note have?
Well, one of the nice things about the voice note is that it's, again, operating on Windows CE, so all of those viruses that are floating around are written for Windows whatever, 2000 or 98 or something else, and so they're unlikely to have any effect on this different operating system. Even though there are some fundamental compatibilities, we have to make sure those compatibilities work. So I doubt whether those viruses would have any impact on our email program.
Even though that's able to open Word documents, etc.
Shouldn't have an effect on this. I mean, I guess we'll know as time goes on, but the basic operating system is different, and the way they affect it, I don't know. There's some programmers here who may be able to answer this question better than I can, but it's my understanding that because we're operating in a different fundamental environment, that those viruses, we're impervious to those viruses, basically. Yes, one more question back there, way back. Yeah.
My question was, with the front end for the word processor, will it have the same abilities to work within tables in Microsoft Word, specifically creating tables?
Well, that's an interesting question. If you import it, it's going to hold on to the format that was there. If you change that format as you're editing it, it's going to send it back in some kind of modified form, I suppose. But you'd be able to check to see what that format looks like. You'd see if there were columns there, and as you were going through it. And of course, with a Braille display, there are some real advantages to dealing with highly formatted material. I'm sure that as time goes on, we're going to see where this is a really great solution and whether it's got some pitfalls in it. At this point, we're basically importing a file. We can edit it. It's going to hold on to whatever the fonts were there if you're going to enter additional data. But if you change the format in any way, just as you would if you were in any other word processor, or even if you were in Word and you change the format and send it back, it will see where the changes are, and it will, if you've messed up the format, it'll be messed up too. But nice thing with Braille Note is with the Braille display, you can see where there are columns and things like that on the Braille display. One more, right at the very back. Oh, we have to move on. Sorry. Come to the booth if you want to be in, if you want to attend any of these hands-on training. Booth 13. Thanks.
It is Larry Skutkan here from APH. Welcome, Larry.
Hello, I'm Larry Skutkan from the American Printing House for the Blind, and welcome to Louisville.
Thank you.
As you probably know, APH is having a reception at 5 o'clock today in Ballroom D. So please join us there for a more formal welcome to some of the neater things in Louisville. As far as products go, we have in the last few years embarked on a new program of trying to create or to fill a gap in educational software for blind and visually impaired students. And we've made a pretty good, a start. As you know, educational software from the general market is among the least accessible due to various things, including graphics and non-standard programming and so forth. So what we've tried to do is to fill a niche by creating some self-voicing applications that meet some of the basic educational needs. And we've got a long ways to go, but we have made a start. This March, we released two new programs. One of them is called Talking Typer for Windows, which if you were familiar with the old DOS talking typing program we had, and even an Apple one years ago, called PC Typer. This is a significant and a long overdue program that's been needed in the field, because typing tutors are is something that just isn't going to work with the off-the-shelf program, the off-the-shelf typing tutors and screen readers. The kind of interaction that's required is such that you pretty well need to control what's going to be spoken from this kind of application. So with this move to the Windows self-voicing application, of course, we're using the software synthesizer, and we've added a lot of features from the DOS one, such as the ability to create lessons with any key on the keyboard, not just the typing keys. So it makes a pretty good tool for teaching a student a computer keyboard and the special function in Windows and Alt keys and so forth. We're adding some. The lessons are very easy for a teacher or a parent to edit, so you can create simpler or harder lessons or adjust the advancement criteria in any of the lessons. We're also adding in our next version some one-handed lessons, which was something we had a lot of requests for, and we've tentatively decided to use the one-handed Dvorak keyboard styles. In doing that, we kind of got a little bit interested in the two-handed Dvorak keyboard, so there'll be lessons for that as well in the next version. Another program we just released in March is a math flashcards program that is probably one of the funnest, neatest talking applications that that you'll play around with. It only does the four basic math functions, but it does do remainders and negative numbers, so you can get fairly complicated with it. By the way, Talking Typer is $79 and Math Flash is $24. We have a lot of other programs. I'll be speaking to this group tomorrow afternoon and giving a demonstration of some of the newer programs and things that are up and coming at APH, including a digital talking book player and a test administration program. Other new things we've got hardware-wise is we are now carrying the Roadrunner, which if you're not familiar with it, it's a little device not much bigger than a single cassette tape, and you upload files from your PC into this for the purpose of taking them with you to read. It holds about 2,000 pages worth of text in it, uses the double talk speech, and we'll be improving the firmware on this device over the next year or two and adding some better features. We've also begun carrying the Orion Talking Scientific Calculator, which as far as I know is the first really inexpensive scientific calculator on the market. It sells for $199. It's based on a TI-34. Comes with the documentation on cassette and disc, and every function on the calculator does talk, and you can review it and adjust several of the speech parameters. And finally, one other quick little thing that's not quite as high-tech as what we're used to in this room, but is nevertheless a little device that is kind of neat, is what we call the motion pad. And what this is a little digital recorder that just lets you record up to a 10-second message. But what's interesting about it is that it plays back to the person that walks by it as detected with motion. This device is only $34, and it is available also now. Our website has got demonstrations of our software and documentation to the hardware that we do sell right on the website, which is www.aph.org/tech. That'll get you straight to the software and technology page. We have a booth here, and I'll be darned if I know what the number is, though. I apologize. We'll be pretty visible, though. And we also have demo CDs at the booth that contain demos of Learn Keys, Math Flash, Talking Typer, and Listening to Windows 95, plus brochures and catalogs. And does anybody have any questions?
$299. If a person wants to support an external synthesizer, if you have an external synthesizer, the problem that I've had with that product so far is the quality of speech, especially for new computer users.
Actually, it uses any SAPI-compliant synthesizer. It does ship with the Microsoft one, and we had quite a discussion about trying to license Eloquence and or some other product, but have decided that, you know, if we were to do that and you bought two or three different educational packages of ours, you'd be paying for that synthesizer three times. What we're going to do, though, is begin selling separately a higher quality SAPI compliant synthesizer. But in the meantime, it will use any system you have. If you have Via Voice or even the new Jennifer RealSpeak product that ships with the Kurzweil 1000, the software will gladly use those. It's got a in the settings, speech settings dialog, there's a option there to change voices. Is that kind of what you're talking about, or are you talking about using hardware synthesizers?
I'm talking about both. I mean, is there just the ability to do both? I mean, is it possible to go to a hardware synthesizer if I want to?
Not without one of the unreleased SAPI hardware compliant drivers that will probably never see the light of day. Right now, it's not possible. No, that's something we'd be willing to entertain, though. Okay.
I saw it about 3 years ago, and I do know how to tape. I do know how to type, but I was wanting to increase my speed, and I was using it at an agency, and I would go along with what they were saying, and there were times that they were telling me that I was typing 120 minutes words a minute, which I'm sure is not true. What is the range of skill level that the program is supposed to encompass?
It is supposed to be able to do exactly what you're looking for, to increase a well-versed type of speed as well. There's some issues with how to calculate words per minute when you are trying to give the blind person the same kind of feedback and not penalize them on time. So we do some little tricky things, like we don't start timing you till you actually hit a key. Now, what may be happening, I know on real short bursts, you actually can reach 120 words a minute, even though that's not your standard typing speed. Pardon me?
It would not then be representative of what someone could actually do.
Well, I think if you went through a whole lesson, it would be representative. But if you just did it on one line, you know, for a few words and in a quick burst like that, I think you can actually obtain those kind of speeds. The program is set to be able to adjust the speed and accuracy to any level before it allows you to advance on to future lessons. And in the next version that will be coming out within about 6 months, it's actually going to have a component that won't even let you advance from the line in the drill until you've met the advancement criteria.
The program that I saw just had a plebe level, and nobody knew how to advance levels.
Well, in the DOS version, it was kind of complicated because you had to have the teacher disk to go in there and adjust things. In the new Windows version, it starts out assuming that you are all-powerful and you're allowed to do anything, and if you happen to be a teacher, you can password all the sections that let you examine student records and change the advancement criteria and so forth. Try out one of the CDs and see if you don't think it's highly improved and a little more intuitive.
More from the VidPi seminar next week, and our thanks to the Visually Impaired Data Processors International for giving us permission to use this material.